All right. Are you ready? Welcome to the Curiosity Public podcast. I'm Dutch.
Jules here.
Ellen.
And yes, we're doing another grab bag, kind of catching up on some news in the spirits world from the past few days. Every time I say spirits world, I think of what's that line in Ghostbusters? Where he's like Tobin's spirit guide or something like that.
Right. Well, you already made a mistake because you shouldn't say the past couple days. You should say the past year because we're always delayed in releasing this. And
it hasn't been a year.
Whenever this comes out, it's going to be like a year ago.
I'm just being optimistic, man. I don't do anything with the release schedule of these, so it's out of my hands once we record it. So I have no sympathy. Actually, I do have sympathy. All right. Well, we've got a couple of interesting articles to get to, but before we do that, let's figure out what everybody's drinking. I'll kick it off this time. I actually grabbed a bottle of Knob Creek 25th anniversary that I saw sitting on my shelf.
Wow. Nice.
I have not cracked into this in quite a while. This is a 123.4 proof bottle that was barreled in 2004. And this stuff came out, I think 2018, 2019, sometime around then. I think it's like a 14 or 15 year old Knob Creek. And it's, I don't know that it's any better than the store picks that are up there, but it's still pretty tasty. So Dylan, how about you?
I have something that it's like a blast from the past. Is that what you young people say? Okay.
That's what old people say.
Oh, is that right?
Dating yourself.
I am older than that, I guess. All right. So I am drinking Evan Williams Single Barrel Vintage Put in Oak 2009.
Very nice.
Wow. And so that's some low proof whiskey for you, man.
Yeah. It's barreled on March 13th, 09. Barrel number 986. Bottled on 8/9/2017. Yeah. It's really low. It's 86.6 proof. And man, I haven't seen this color in my glass in a long time. This amber,
I always did enjoy those. It was kind of a nice flavor, usually. Not super, didn't never punch you in the face, but there's some stuff in those. All right, Jules, what you got?
I too am going blast into the past with a 2020 limited release. By Maker's Mark SE4PR5.
Wow, okay.
110 proof. Longtime podcast listeners would know I just cracked this open last time we recorded, I guess.
Assuming these are going to be released in order. Now,
yeah.
A year ago.
That's funny because I was actually over on the set and I was going to grab the new one, the FAE01, which apparently we're like the only people in the world who don't like it that much.
No, I don't think so. I've had actually.
So you reject our community.
Well, no, I've had people who tried it and they also felt like it wasn't that
great. And I think kind of what people have been saying too, is that it doesn't really taste like Maker's, which I agree with. And I think if you take it out of that context and you say, don't think of it as a weeded Maker's, then yeah, it kind of works. I don't know that it stands out.
I don't know about that. I disagree with that. I don't know what that means. Like, it's not a weeder than what? It's like a rye again, but it's not even that.
It tastes more like that than a weeder. It just doesn't taste like a weeder. I don't know.
It's definitely unique, I would say. Like I said, it's academic.
Yeah. It reinforces too the fact that I think we in the future should do a blind of all of these Maker special releases because what if we end up picking the FAE01, guys?
Probably awesome. With our luck. Yeah. Or with my luck.
Actually, I think it would be a lot harder if we didn't know that we were doing a blind of Maker's versus if we know we're doing a blind of Maker's. So
we should do it completely blind that we don't even know what we're drinking. What? Oh, we just have a third party.
We're going to have our producer step up.
Yeah, producer.
Yeah, we got to find one.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, let's kick this off.
Wait. Before you start, though, I have a couple of comments. So number one, I still haven't gotten my money back from Five Guys. So Five Guys, calling you out.
You know they're not listening.
They have not given me my money for my the milkshake that is supposedly connected to the internets, and corporate didn't give me the money back. So there you go, Five Guys. I'm calling you out. So that's that. Okay. You may proceed.
Anything else? Any other motions on the floor before I proceed?
You may proceed.
Yeah, you made it sound like you had more than one, Dylan.
Yeah, I forgot it.
It'll come to him halfway through and be like, guys, we need to stop.
Yeah, I'm going
to
stop. Something else to say.
Okay, so we're going to kick this off with kind of a fun one. I came across an article in Chilled magazine, which is an interesting, I don't know how interesting it is, but it's a cocktail.
Razor spirits.
Yeah, magazine that's, if you're interested in that stuff, every once in a while there's something interesting. But it says, what cocktail should you drink for your astrological sign? So I figured we should go through this and figure out what everybody's cocktail is. So Dylan, I believe you are a Virgo, is that right? Or are you a Libra?
You probably like, depending on how he feels.
I think he's a Virgo.
Either. Yeah, I think I can be Virgo.
Yeah.
Okay. So according to Chilled magazine, you appreciate a well-executed classic. So they're making you a perfect Manhattan. Mm. It's all about attention to detail, and they promise to measure it exactly. And you'll end up with a nuanced, sophisticated sipper to enjoy after working all day. You deserve it.
Wow. I do deserve it, I guess.
That is spot on. Well, I don't know if he deserves it.
How are you with Manhattans? Do you like Manhattans?
I don't normally order Manhattans. I think you guys know my cocktail preference is no cocktail. I think it depends on the situation. I go to a bar, and if they're known for cocktails, I'm not going to sit there and go like, oh, get me a Jim Beam. I'm going to try the cocktail. And usually
you'd order a Jack Daniels, but okay.
I remember we went on a trip and we went to like this weird speakeasy / like funky bar. And what I love doing is, and I don't know if bartenders hate this. And again, like if you're a bartender, please reach out to us and let us know if this is annoying. But I usually kind of say, can you just make something? And they'll also say, well, what do you like? And I'll say whiskey, but I like everything. So just whatever. And they usually do. Sometimes I'm surprised at how creative things are. Sometimes it's just basically a straightforward old fashioned. Sometimes it's a Manhattan. I think I had one time they gave me a Long Island iced tea.
Wow.
Wow.
Actually, I remember we did that. We asked that when we were on that infamous trip to Chicago. And they created that cocktail. Right. And they rubbed the inside of the glass with tobacco.
Right. Something. Right.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, that's why I always get surprised when I ask, do you do bespoken spirits? Not affiliated with the actual company, but do you make your own cocktails? And I've done that around the world. And in some bars, they create some amazing stuff. So I've had some amazing cocktails that way. I had a colleague who goes to every bar in the world and has an old fashioned.
Yeah, I think you did mention that. Or every time he's traveling, like
I thought it was a daiquiri or something.
No,
that's you.
That's another show, bud. But yeah. So anyway, I don't know.
Well, Manhattan, I don't think a Manhattan would offend you. It's not a super sweet tropical cocktail or anything. That seems like a Dylan type drink. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, Jules, you are a Taurus. Is that right?
That's correct.
So how about an Aperol Spritz for you? Ah. It's an indulgent Italian liqueur. Topped with beautiful bubbly Prosecco, caressed with a fresh orange twist. It looks fancy, but it's classic and down to earth, just like you. Wow, they really don't know.
Dude,
you,
they like nailed me dead on.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I think you actually do enjoy an Aperol Spritz.
I do. It's not like a regular go-to, but
you'll drink it if it's offered.
I will drink it. And it's funny. I think for me, one thing you guys both know is that if I'm looking at a cocktail menu, somehow or another, it's like I have ESP on this stuff, but like I always end up ordering the most flashy, the brightest neon colored cocktail.
True.
With like, you know, no actual intent in ordering that, but for whatever reason, that's what I end up ordering.
That's only after you've asked to see the lemonade menu.
That's true.
They always laugh at you.
As soon as they deny me my pink lemonade, I end up having to look for an alternative. And
I remember that. I remember you went to a couple of restaurants and you asked specifically for pink lemonade and they just came back with lemonade. And I was like, I don't, right. You know, why don't you just tell us that you didn't have pink lemonade? Why would you say,
I remember making that argument.
I'll get you that pink lemonade, but then they come out with lemonade.
Right.
Okay. It's just weird, but you know, because it's so inconsequential, no one cares.
Exactly. Or they try to fool me by putting in some like the cherry syrup into a regular.
Oh, right. Full jewels. Right.
Yeah. Emil Full Jewels.
The stuff that exactly. I love, right?
Oh, yeah. The stuff that like Jeez. Dylan snorts, man.
The cherries.
Oh.
All right. Well, do you guys want to hear the Libra, which would be mine?
Yes, of course.
It says Libras are known for being charming and having an eye for the aesthetics. I don't know about that, but the symbol for Libra is a scale. Balance and fairness are important. Your cocktail is the paper plane. Equal parts, sweet and sour, boozy and fresh. It's well thought out and harmonized, just like a Libra at the top of their game. I've had a paper plane.
You've had a paper plane?
Yeah, I've had a paper plane.
I have not had a paper plane.
You guys know our friend Dr. Oju. He took me out in San Francisco once. And
I was there.
Clearly, I don't remember.
I don't remember that. I think it was at
ABV. Remember that bar?
Oh, right, right. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I remember we had a lot of different types of drinks. Right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't like on the menu. I don't remember. I don't think it was.
Yeah. He knows a lot of bartenders, so he'll just go and.
Yeah, he just kind of made stuff, right? And I didn't even know what it was. Probably not a good idea, but you know,
paper
it was good.
Plane though, that why does that? That sounds like a song. Is that where it came from?
Are you thinking of Freebird?
Are you thinking about Paper Mario?
No, Paper Plane's a paper song Mache? By MIA, which I'm assuming you both don't know who that
MIA?
Is.
MIA, Missing in Action.
Let's look this.
Isn't
up.
That
does
like
paper
a
plane
Chuck
actually
Norris?
Come with a paper plane?
Chuck cool. Norris,
Delta Force.
Wasn't there a movie called Missing in Action?
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But hey, speaking of airplanes, you guys remember that movie Air America?
Yeah.
But you know what's funny is I was watching Lethal Weapon and they talk about Air America, like the CIA operation in Lethal Weapon.
What?
Yes.
What? I do That's, not remember that. Yes. Is it like just a quick line or something?
Yes. It's so
no
weird.
No way.
Yeah.
And of course, well, I guess, Mel Gibson does do that kind of thing.
Yeah. He was meta before meta was a thing.
Wow.
All right. Well, we should move on. Let's talk a little bit more about cocktails before we get into some straight spirits that we're going to talk about. This is an article Jules came across that basically talks about how at-home cocktails have revived an interest in bitters.
Yeah.
And yeah, what do you think of that?
Well, wait, Dutch, don't you like snort bitters? I know you have like a huge collection of different types of bitters, right? You even say you go like, oh, I just sip on bitters or suck on it or whatever you do, right?
No, you drink them, but yes. Bitters is kind of refers usually to things that you put drops of into cocktails, whereas Amaro is kind of the broader spirit. So, I mean, Amaro is a broad category. So it includes the lighter colored things like aperitifs like Campari and then the darker things like Fernet and Angostura and things like that that you do use in cocktails. Some of them you would use in cocktails. Yes, I do enjoy them. And I do enjoy Underberg and Angostura by itself. There's places you can get shots of Angostura. It's pretty amazing.
I want to say a quick anecdote about that. So for our listeners, there is another lost episode. Okay. So this is behind the scenes for the two or three people who listen to this. So I think we recorded, it was like a panel drinking, I think it was a Manhattan or was it an old fashioned? It was an old fashioned.
Probably.
Yeah. And Dutch is like, hey, we need to make the old fashioned and we're going to do this, this, and this. I don't even remember the details. And so he asked me to help. Now,
I remember you didn't even know how to make an old fashioned.
Yeah. Right? And I was like, I don't know what this is. I don't drink cocktails, you guys, and you're a flower in your hair and I'm drinking this stuff. And I go, okay, whatever. I'll try to help. And Dutch scribbles down the recipe, right? And I'm supposed to follow it. And
I think I showed you step by step. I held your hand.
You did.
Yeah. And then
you still screwed it up.
And it was funny because we're recording and Dutch stops in the middle of recording. He's like, did you put in the bitters? And I go, bitter what? And we had to do it all over again. Now that has been recorded. I thought it was pretty funny, but Dutch refuses to release it along with the chocolate episode.
That's one of those
that'll
stay in the vault for a while.
The ice episode.
Oh God.
It's all about the ice episode and the chocolate cake episode.
But the chocolate cake will keep building that up. That one will see the light of day, I'm sure. All right. Well, yes. So obviously the article is talking about how COVID
there's been an increase of sales.
Yeah, increase of sales because people are at home. They're getting more into cocktails. I mean, you know, you mentioned this when we were talking about this article, Jules, that Stanley Tucci has been posting cocktail classes. I have to say.
I actually did not know about it until this article. And then I went ahead and looked it up on YouTube and it's pretty cool that he actually did a bunch of them. Yeah.
But man, he needs to work on his video production. You know, I'm not saying that we're amazing or anything.
It's not like we're any better.
His first, at least his first first one was horrible. Like,
yeah, it's man, like he just hit record and that's
he's it. Supposed to be an actor upload. And he did not see
not just an actor, he's like a director, producer. I mean, he's done the full Hollywood production, man.
He's got to step it up. Come on.
Yeah, but in his defense, I mean,
he has people do that stuff for him usually.
Maybe he couldn't get it because of the pandemic, because
of lockdown.
You know, yeah, or he couldn't buy. Although I guess you can buy it online, right?
Your cell phone, get a microphone. Come on. I'm sure he could have made a call. That's all I gotta say. I'm sure he could have made a call.
Yeah.
When you're Stanley Tucci, you don't even need to make the call, dude. It just happens.
The one I saw was the Negroni one. And I mean, the great thing about Negronis is it's a super easy cocktail to make because everything is like shelf stable. It's three things, right? And it's gin, Campari, and bitter, and vermouth. So it's a super easy cocktail to make. So I liked that. And this article actually talks about it, that the Negronis clicked up in searches for how to make them.
Well, then I think why it kind of aligned with what I had experienced through this article anyway, was because last time I had gone to like a BevMo or Total Wine, I did see and had noticed like they made like the smaller bitter offering, you know, for like one or two shots, which I hadn't seen before. Mm. And then I never knew why, you know, I just thought, oh, maybe they're just giving out samplers or something. But I guess this article kind of ties it nicely where the reason why is because bitter sales have increased and, you know, they're trying to get the reach out there, get people, you know, smaller sizes to try so that they don't commit to a big full bottle first if they, you know, if it doesn't end up being their thing they like with their cocktails.
I don't know. That's weird.
I've always thought there should be more use of these small bottles. I'm always kind of skeptical when there's not, right? Like with the craft distilleries, it's like,
true.
Well, somebody's going to buy the sample thing and taste it, and then they're not going to buy the full bottle for $30 because...
But I mean, they're clearly labeled saying that, you know, it's only good for one or two shots at most.
Yeah.
Or drinks, you know, so.
Yeah, I would just buy the whole thing. I just buy the whole thing. But let me ask, who cares about the article? I just want to ask you guys, in this past week, let's say, how many cocktails have you had?
Zero.
Zero. Yeah.
Yeah. See, who's doing this? I don't know.
Well, apparently a lot of people, because sales have gone up. That's proof right there, dude.
I mean, I will occasionally make myself an old fashioned, but that's very rare. That's usually if like I'm hanging out with a bunch of people and they all are like, oh, let's have cocktails. I'm like, do I have to? It's fine. I'll do an old fashioned, but you know.
All right. You know what? Next time we meet up.
How about during lockdown? Did you have a cocktail?
Oh yeah. Let's do that. Let's. Okay. Yeah. In the past year.
Right.
In the past year, how many times ballpark? How many times have you had a cocktail?
And I could actually answer that one too, twice.
Well, hang on.
One of them was a gin and tonic, and the other one was ranch water.
I was going to say, if ranch water counts, then
I did
last summer during lockdown of making highballs and ranch water.
Yeah.
So I had a handful of those. And then aside from that, I might have made myself one old fashioned in the past year, maybe one Negroni. So not very many.
Okay.
And I didn't even make myself the gin and tonic. My sister made it because she was practicing.
Wow. So are you telling me if the sales are up, there's got to be a huge contingent of people doing that, right?
Absolutely.
I don't know
of
anybody.
Sales are up for the RTDs, and it's not like, you know, do you actually know people?
That I do. I think I know folks that do dabble in RTD, but not,
do dabble.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Well, so are you going to ask me how many times I've had a cocktail?
No, you don't count. We already know your answer. Yeah.
And even if you had one, you would say you hadn't, just to say.
Yeah,
exactly. It's every day. Yeah. All my high proof liquor, that's all the front. All I drink is vodka soda.
Wow. Didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Do you want to say it? Do you want to say zero?
Yeah, it's zero.
Okay.
Yeah.
We didn't need to waste all that time.
Dodge the completion.
There you go.
I'm well balanced, remember?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Whole time.
I'm sure for Dutch, it was like, oh, we need to have the answer.
I know. He's starting to itch.
Yeah.
Like breaking out knives here.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. So the last two, we'll be a little quicker. We got a couple of just new spirits that have been unveiled. First one is a Glenmorangie. Well, actually, this ties in nicely because they're trying to get into the mixed drink game with their new X. Yes, that's the name of the new Glenmorangie single malt.
X? Really?
X. Yes, it's 40% ABV. It is said to have a sweeter, richer taste and is recommended consumed in tall, simple serves, including mixed with tonic water or cola. Yeah, you heard that right. Glenmore and Gin Coke is the next big thing, guys.
Wow.
I'm just disappointed that X is all they could come up with. Like, how many focus groups they probably this probably went through? X was it.
You're not the target. It's clearly it's another demographic. I refuse to say that group's name, and it's been repeated over and over again. So
by you.
No, I'm beyond that now. You know,
well, I'm not sure. I don't know what group you're referring to, but
I don't even think it's this.
Well, Dutch is itchy because he wants the answer, but I'm not going to give it to him. I'm not going to give it to him. Like, yeah, he wants that name. No, I ain't going to say it. I will say, well, though, earlier today, I did yell at some kids to get off my lawn. So
I have no doubt.
I have no doubt it was probably your.
Oh, wow.
Wow. That should be
right there. Yeah, right.
Because it's a true story, folks.
Wow.
Yeah, that one will have to stay in the vaults, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who's doing this. I don't know who would buy Glenmore and G to mix it. But you know what? I think a lot of bartenders are going to capitalize on this. They're going to say, hey, we have an elevated Scotch highball. We're using the new Glenmore and G that's made for it. You know, so I think you will see cocktails developed. And Glenmore and G is big enough that they can do that. So I understand it from a marketing perspective. I don't know that we will ever review this. Maybe we will.
Oh, we have.
We got to.
All right, I guess we got to.
To do it.
Other end of the spectrum, there's also news of Talisker unveiling a 43-year-old Scotch that will be priced at around $4,877.
Ooh.
1,830 bottles are made. And 49.7% alcohol, which is actually a little higher than I would have thought. Yeah. And the box looks a little bit cheap.
What?
It's hard to tell.
I can't tell. It looks like it might be made out of wood.
I don't know.
It's probably plastic. It's probably plastic.
Yeah, we'll need more info to really judge that one. But interesting. I mean, I don't know that this will ever make its way onto Curiosity Public, but it would be really cool to try something like this. I was wondering, what's the oldest whiskey you guys have tried?
I think I talked about this before. I have had a Macallan 50 before. And I've had a Macallan that is supposedly older than that. So I think it was supposed to be like 60 some years old, 65 or 60, 60 to 65 years old.
Wow.
And this was in it was like a semi-business meeting in Europe, undisclosed location. And it was available. And how can I say no, right?
Yeah.
You
have to try it. You know, I got to say, is it worth the price? I would never pay that price. I don't think I could justify it. I think the price that you pay is more for investment and flipping it or maybe selling it in the future or something like that. But I don't know, man. After a certain age, I feel like it's a law of diminishing returns. You get these changes from the barrel. And for sure, there are like velvety flavors. I think we kind of experienced that with the King George, if you remember the King George Johnny.
Yeah.
You know what that means, right? The very rare, naturally ultra-aged, and I have to say that, liquors, it has that weird velvety mouthfeel. You know, when we talk about body, it's like the next level. So yes, these 50-year-olds have a component of that. If you ask me, is there a difference between a 20 and 25? I'd probably say yes. I've noticed the difference between, let's say, 20 to 25. 25 to 30, and then 30 to 40, it starts to get a little muddled, I will say. Mm-hmm. I mean, even when you're kind of concentrating. Now, I was in a social environment, so I wasn't like studying the liquor in front of me, but I tried to do my best to kind of assess. But yeah, I think it gets a little tricky, I would say. So I don't know. I don't think I could pay $4,000 for this Talisker or whatever.
It's steep.
Yeah, I'd rather spend that money and get like, I don't know, 40 other bottles.
You can get, yeah.
Yeah, you get a lot for that.
You can get a lot more.
Yeah, like really different, interesting stuff on the shelf that I would enjoy. You know, I would still enjoy it.
Yeah. So, all right, Jules, how about you? Do you have any idea what the oldest spirit you've had?
I think the oldest would, well, I mean, the only one I can think of for sure is the Macallan. A Macallan 25 would probably be the oldest. I'm also trying to think, I think from like a couple of business trips, there might've been an old sake I had. I can't remember how old it was. I think it was somewhere in the realm of 30 year. Hmm. And I remember it was one of those two, actually, specifically because my boss at the time was like, is it safe to drink this? He only did like a teaspoon. Offended the director.
Oh,
taking us out.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, man. But yeah, in terms of whiskey or anything, the only thing I can think of is like a Macallan 25.
Yeah. How about you, Dutch? I think 25. I mean, yeah. I know we all had that Glenfarclas too when we did that drink through.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I know for sure 25. I'm trying to think if I don't know. I can't put my finger on anything else I've had that might have been older than that. So,
well, so we're going to have that if pandemic willing. Later this year, I'm going to open up the Bacta 50.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that has like 50 to 150 year old liquor in there.
Wow.
So we'll be trying that and we'll see how that tastes. I will say, Jules, I sympathize. I think the oldest wine I had was 100 to 150 year old. I forgot. I think it's one of them I remember was 100 years old. I think the oldest one was 150. But in any way, it was, I got scared, I will say. Yeah. I mean, it was at a restaurant. So I hope that it was stored. But think about that, though, right? That restaurant probably wasn't around that long.
Exactly.
Even though they bought it from someone else. Yeah, but even though that building, I would say, the building has been around since the 1400s. Okay. Mm. So that's that, but I don't know if it was stored there. I hope not. And you know, like the weather conditions and what's going on, you know what I mean? Like, seriously, you don't know what happened there. Right. I mean, they used to put lead in spirits. Remember, you know, leaded things. Yeah. Exactly. So
the glass.
Yeah. But it was hard to, old. Yeah. It's hard to say no, obviously in those kind of situations.
Right.
You can't offend the host. Especially if business. If they're busting out these like old wine. Yeah. And
what if they offer you a cup of poison though? You're gonna say no, right?
Well, I mean, if they say, oh, you have to
depends on the business poison. Deal.
Yeah, right.
Depends on the context. Yeah. Well, on that note, Jules, why don't you take us out of this episode?
Wait. Time. Before you end though, right?
Uh-oh.
Five guys. It's Five Guys.
did you get an email from Five Guys?
No, they didn't give me Five Guys yet.
Wait a second. How are they gonna get in contact with you when the computer?
That's the whole point, dude. They reported this to corporate.
That's what I'm saying. They said, oh, the corporate will automatically know that the machine was down. they will cross-reference your
transaction.
Right. This is what they said. They said during the time that you came in, they would know that the machine was down. And they would say that you ordered it and therefore they'll give you a refund of it. And I said,
how will they know?
I don't doubt that they would be able to look that up, but I do doubt that it's all automated on the road.
Obviously,
I think you have to call. You got to write a strongly worded letter.
What if you paid cash?
No. So I'll tell you exactly what happened. I ordered it online to pick up.
Right.
Okay. I ordered it online to pick up at the location.
I forgot how boring the story is. Sorry.
Well, thanks for making us go through it again.
Okay, yeah. Jules, please, Jules, take us out of this.
Well, thank you one and all for listening to our podcast. We appreciate each and every one of you. If you haven't yet, be sure to check out our YouTube channel. We got new content up there weekly where we do reviews and drink throughs. If you like what we do, want to help us out, be sure to check out our subscription membership program called Curiosity Private on YouTube. We also do have a t-shirt website. I don't know. It's Spreadshirt website. Whatever. I'll put the link anyway in the podcast description. Stay safe. Stay healthy.
Stay curious. We have a t-shirt
blank.